This is Laura Dierdo with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Selena Kunanen, Chief Diversity, Equity, and Belonging Officer at University Hospitals. Selena, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Now, I know we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm really looking forward to learning more about what you're doing at University Hospitals to spread diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as belonging. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I am actually a certified nurse midwife by training. So I've been a certified nurse midwife for the last 24 years here in the Cleveland community, and had previously been leading the midwifery team here at UH for the last 15 years, and kind of stepped into the diversity space really as an advocate for maternal child health, especially here in Cleveland, in which we have such high disparity rates in terms of maternal mortality and infant mortality, especially for Black women and Black babies. And so kind of my advocacy work in the maternal child space and OBGYN was really kind of set me up to take on a larger platform for the organization when the previous leader, who was my dear friend and mentor, left the organization. And they asked me to kind of take over for the system in, you know, promoting health equity strategies, as well as how do we build a culture of belonging here within the organization.
That's amazing to hear. So, you know, given that, what are the biggest issues that you're following in healthcare today?
Oh, gosh, you know, of course, in my passion and my, you know, number one is always going to be around maternal child health. There's still large disparities that exist all over the country when we're looking at outcomes in terms of maternal mortality and infant mortality. We know that Black women are 2 to 3 times more likely to die during pregnancy or the year following birth. And that there is still a disparity rate for Black infants in dying before their first birthday, mostly due to preterm birth or sleep-related deaths or birth defects across the country. And so that's probably one of the biggest things I look at. And then when you look at, you know, the workforce shortages, I don't know any healthcare organization that hasn't been touched by workforce shortages. And so it is always about how do you retain the best talent? How do you stay competitive in this market in which there's such competition for the best talent? And then the other thing that I think is one of the things that I really focus on is like, how do we get the next generation of healthcare providers to us? So really focusing on youth development strategies and workforce initiatives. My team really focuses a lot on youth workforce initiatives and looking at how do we get kids excited to be in the healthcare industry. Healthcare is the largest industry here in Cleveland. We are the second largest employer here in Northeast Ohio. And so, you know, it's vitally important to tap into our most precious resource, which is our youth. And how do we keep those kids here in town? So workforce shortages and innovative ways to solve those workforce shortages is certainly at the top of my list as well. And then in terms of health equity, really looking at how do we address the social drivers, the social determinants of health through unique, innovative partnerships and programming. And so that is one of the things that I'm really focused on, because if we know that the health outcomes of communities are only affected by healthcare by about 20%, that leaves a lot of other, that leaves 80%, right? That things that are beyond the control of healthcare itself. And so, but if we want to actually really see our patients improve, then we need to think and partner with organizations, community-based organizations, government entities, as well as others, to make sure that we're focusing on those things which put our patients at risk for not having good outcomes. Food insecurity is a great example, and that's one of the programs that our office runs too, is our signature food insecurity program, which is called UH Food for Life.
That's fascinating to hear. I love all those points that you mentioned in terms of obviously the maternal child health disparities and making sure that, you know, you're able to work with the communities and provide solutions as much as possible. Workforce shortages, of course, are huge for many hospitals and health systems across the country, trying to retain talent. And thank you for sharing about how you're working with students and trying to keep people within the communities. And then finally, looking at health equity and really giving those spaces in partnerships that can make a difference within the community. And in particular, as you mentioned, food insecurity. From your perspective, are there any of those partnerships that are particularly creative or, you know, have been particularly beneficial in terms of creating real results?
Yeah, so you know, in terms of our food insecurity program, I'll tell you a little bit more about our Food for Life market. You know, it is a partnership with the Greater Cleveland Food Bank here, who is our main supplier of food. We developed this model, which is executed by our partners, our nutrition partners at Sodexo, in really looking at addressing the intersection between food insecurity and food as medicine. Because we know that if somebody's hungry, they need to eat, right? Oftentimes, they might not eat the right things that will optimize their health. And in fact, they might eat things that maybe harm their health. Say if you're diabetic and you're food insecure, and if you're hungry, you're going to eat whatever you can get your hands on because you're hungry. And that doesn't necessarily allow us, they don't have access sometimes to fresh fruits and vegetables or the knowledge or education sometimes that they know that they might need to help improve their diabetic state. So Food for Life is a really unique partnership, and then we're not just a food pantry. We actually house our Food for Life markets, which we have five open currently and on slate to open two more this year. They're always staffed by a dietitian, a registered dietitian. So say, Laura, you come into my office and I'm your midwife, and you tell me, you answer yes to one of our two food insecurity questions. I'll put an order in Epic, which should then get contacted by our scheduling people to schedule an appointment with one of our dietitians at the Food for Life market. Once you're there, the dietitian will do like a full inventory, take a look at your note in the record from me or from your provider to say, oh, it looks like you have diabetes or you're pregnant or you have high blood pressure. Let's review some of the things that you're eating and some of your metrics, and then let's talk about how food can help with that. And then they take them around the market. They'll go shopping with them in our market. They can get food for up to a family of four for 1 week, and they can come back every month for 6 months based on one referral. And this program is completely free for our patients. So one of the great things that we're doing too in this model is really evaluating the outcomes for the patients that are involved in the program that participate. And what we're finding is those patients who actually engage with our markets and our dietitians and the food and come back for food time and time again, they're actually seeing a drop in their hemoglobin A1C, which is a measure of diabetes. They're seeing a drop in their blood pressure if they have a history of hypertension. They see a drop in their weight if they are struggling with obesity. For some of our pregnant women, who many of them have started out with a little heavier BMI, we're seeing less intended excess weight gain in pregnancy, which is actually a really good thing. As a midwife, I don't want my patients, if they're starting out a little heavier, to put on too much weight, because we know that can lead to disparate health outcomes or just complications with their pregnancy for them or the baby. So these are all really kind of really great things that we're measuring in the market that we're really excited to further talk about and publish our research.
That's amazing to hear, and I love that. Thank you so much for going through some of the specifics there, and really the outcomes that you're seeing are really, really impressive. Now, looking ahead, what are you most excited about for the next year or so, and what makes you nervous?
Oh, gosh, I think that's everything I do, maybe. I don't know. you know, I say that the same things that keep me up at night are the same things that get me out of bed in the morning. Just really kind of further developing this, how do we build this culture of belonging within the organization? How do we build training and education for our providers to really care for all members of our population? So how do they provide culturally relevant and competent care to the many communities, diverse communities that we service? So that is a big challenge for me and my team, to make sure that we're rolling out training and educational opportunities for all of our providers, our 33,000 of them. And then, you know, really developing the research and the publications and expanding the Food for Life markets. We know that a lot of these, what we've stood up are, you know, we count this as community benefit. They're philanthropic dollars that are funding it. What we really know that we need to do is to find a better sustainability model for this, whether it is insurance companies or, you know, in town or foundations or the government, to really look at reimbursing for dietitians or supplying reimbursing for the food that we do, because I think other healthcare organizations could do this as well. And there are ones that are doing it around the country. So those are the things that I'm really looking forward to seeing and doing over the next 2 or 3 years.
Absolutely. I love that. And it's definitely would love to reconnect and just learn more as you go along on these programs and projects, because as you mentioned, certainly areas where I know a lot of health systems are trying to get better and better serve their communities. And so to learn from you how you did that and how you were able to scale will be very beneficial.
Yeah. One of the other things I should mention too, because I started talking about Youth Pipeline, is just this innovative things that we do with some of our pipeline programs, our health scholars program, and looking to get that to scale. We take 50, mostly underrepresented in medicine, students, looking mostly at Black and Brown communities, and getting those kids excited about being here in healthcare. And so we're also doing research on that and trying to look to publish that data, because we're really showing that some of the kids who have been involved with our pipeline programs are making it to medical school. And so we're really excited about that support that we provide to them. And also looking at just diversifying all levels of healthcare, because we know that there's opportunities to diversify all of our, whether it be, it's not just being a doctor or nurse in healthcare. You could be a midwife like myself. You could be a psychologist, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, a radiation oncologist, you know, whatever that is. We know that we still need a lot of people in healthcare. And so, and diversifying all of those levels of professions, dietitians, I mentioned dietitians in our Food for Life market. We know that there's not a lot of people of color that go into dietitian work. And so we know that that's a huge challenge. So we're trying to utilize, technology and an app development with a company called WorkUp to ensure that we have the ability to introduce all the different healthcare professions, all the things you can do in healthcare to students and community members here in the region. So we're excited to be launching that as well, and also looking to kind of research and publish the data on that as well about what kids are interested in and whether or not this technology platform, which utilizes TikTok for students, because we know that that is their language, whether or not that could really influence their decision about whether or not to go into healthcare careers.
Got it. That's so helpful to know and just really cool to see. Now, before we wrap up, I was wondering, what will the most effective healthcare leaders need to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years? I know healthcare continues to change and transform, and would love your perspective, especially thinking on the health equity side, what leaders will really need to know about and think through as they're rising in the leadership roles for the next generation.
You know, I think I feel very privileged to be in an organization that I think does this. Really, we need all healthcare leaders to have an equity lens, whether you're not, you have an official DEI role like myself, and really, or you're not, like everyone has to be able to apply an equity lens to all of their work. Whether it's in finance, whether it's in research, whether it's in development or government relations or whatever different, levels of the organization, whether it's in your communication practices or your marketing practices within the organization, we need everyone to have that DEI lens. And really, I think what all consumers are smart and they're savvy and they talk with their feet and they'll let you know if they're unhappy, right? We've seen this time and time again. What healthcare organizations really need to do is that, how are they going to be able to speak to all the many diverse communities that they service, and how are they going to be able to assure people, if they want to entice them to come and work for them, that they're a great place that to work, and that it is a great place of belonging. So I think that's going to be a challenge, but I think everyone has to make DEI work their priority, regardless of where they are in the organization.
That's fantastic. Well, Selena, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. This has been really a fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thanks so much, Laura.